Hey, this is Pastor Jeff Workmeister of Elevate Church, and welcome to our podcast. I want to thank you for listening today. I hope this inspires you, encourages you, and builds your faith. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, I think on Easter, we can get into this thought of like, it's got to be this big, profound message, you know? It's this big, profound sermon that we have to present. But just praying about what the Lord wanted me to speak about, I really, really heard the Lord say, just keep it simple. And the title of my message today is just the simple gospel. And my prayer is that if you've never heard the gospel before, that you would receive it today. And if you have heard the gospel, that the joy of your salvation would just be renewed. Because the gospel never, ever, ever should get old to us. What Jesus did should never, ever get old to us. It should never be just a story that we hear. But a lot of times we complicate the gospel based off of our circumstances in life, based off of how we perceive the Lord, how we see God. We add to it, we subtract from it, it's hard to believe, we complicate it. But the gospel is simple this morning, and what Jesus did is enough. And the gospel means good news, right? And so this should always, always be good news to us. I think we just go through life and circumstances happen and the good news just becomes a little tainted sometimes. But it should bring joy to our hearts. It brought joy to Jesus' heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, his example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what Jesus did. Jesus did not just take the cross and say, man, I can't wait till this is over with. Man, I can't wait until they just beat me and they kill me and I get to raise again. I just can't wait until this is over with. No, Jesus was thinking and had joy in his heart the whole way to the cross. The joy that was in him was knowing that you and I would be his. And that should be the same joy inside of us. The same excitement inside of us, that the gospel is not just a story that we read, but the gospel is the joy of knowing Jesus, knowing that he took it for us, and now we are his, and we belong to him. And so it should be joy inside of us, but I just want to talk through this today and just ask a couple questions. Number one, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, the Son of Man has come to seek out and to give life to those who are lost. To seek out and to give life to those who are lost. And Jesus is talking out of Ezekiel chapter 34, and he says this, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away. I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. I will destroy those who are fat and powerful, and I will feed them justice. Yes, yes, feed them justice. Why did Jesus come? The very purpose of Jesus coming to this earth is to seek and to save those that were lost. It's as simple as that. To seek and to save those that were lost. His children. You know, a couple months ago, I was at a basketball game with my family, and we were there at Luke's game. And after the game, we were you know, me and Mitchell were just on the basketball court, and there were a couple other kids, and we were kind of just shooting around and everything like that. And Mitchell was right here, and as soon as possible, I'm just going to sign him up for track because he's a fast kid, you know. And we were just kind of shooting around, and all of a sudden, you know, I turned to this one kid and, you know, saw him shoot and everything like that. And then before I know it, Mitchell was gone, all right? He was absolutely just bolted. And we're in this church, and, you know, so I'm like, well, he's not in the gymnasium area. I searched everywhere, you know, and I wasn't going to tell Elena until I found him, you know, because the SWAT team would have been there. You know, I was like, you know what? I'll find him, okay? He's got to be around here, okay? He's not in the gymnasium. So I go out into the hallway, and I look into the hallway, and apparently this church just doesn't believe in an open concept because there was about 15 different rooms that he could have gone into. So I'm just barging into every single room, and I'm barging into offices, and people are working, and I'm like, sorry, I'm looking for my son. I'm just running everywhere, you know. They have a little elementary room. I'm like, okay, he's not here, he's not here, he's not here. There's an urgency here, right? Because, you know, I mean, the kid's smart. He knows how to get out of things. He crawled out of his bed the other night, out of his crib the other night, and just walked outside. And I'm like, how did you get down here? You know? But I just searched everywhere. And finally, I believe it was my sister Liv who finally found him. And I think he was in the bathroom, you know? Because we're potty training him, and he knows when he has to pee. So I should have looked there first. But I don't know if you have ever lost a kid before, but it's terrifying. It's like, okay, let's make another one. You know, like, it's just, what are we gonna do, you know? But it's just, your mind goes to all different places, you know, which causes you to have this sense of urgency inside of you, you know, and I'm out of breath and just looking for him and, you know, but I just began to think, you know, preparing for this message. And I just began to think that as a earthly father, an earthly father, who has this much urgency for his son, how much more does our Heavenly Father have for us? I'm just human. I have limited love. But how much more does our earthly Father seek after us when we're lost? How much more urgency does our Heavenly Father seek after us when we are lost? You see, Jesus came down to this earth looking at us, knowing that we needed saving because we were lost. And Jesus was on mission to seek and to seek and to seek and to save and to save and to save. This was the whole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth. This is the whole reason that he died on the cross, was to seek and to save those that are lost, which is everyone. Everyone. He sees his children because he knows this, that without him, we're lost. He knows us. He knows that we needed saving. And so what was he saving us from? Let me just read these verses real quick. So powerful. Ephesians chapter 2:2-6, it says this: it wasn't that long ago that you lived in religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires in our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and seated us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. But we are now co-seated as one with Christ. The NLT version says this: but God, who is rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. One more. Save your clapping. Here we go. If you didn't clap, here's your chance. Colossians 2:13-15 says this: you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut off, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against you and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Jesus came to save us from what? He came to save us from death. He came to save us from death. You see, without Christ, we are all dead in our sins. Who's ever sinned in here? Okay, just checking, making sure, all right? Because if you haven't, write a book. Because that's good. I want to know how to get there. But we're all sinners, right? And without Christ, we're all dead in our sins. But these verses are talking about this, that though we were dead in our sins, though we were dead in our selfishness, in our pride, in our many, many sins, self-seeking sins, though we were dead in that, because Christ died and rose from the grave, we are now alive because of Christ. We are now alive because of Christ, because he rose from the grave. This is what we're celebrating today. This is what we should be celebrating every single day, not just on Easter. I love what Ephesians says. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. It is only because of Jesus, only because of Jesus that you are alive today. So Jesus came to seek and to save. He saw that we were lost. He saw that we needed him. He saw it. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise from the rose. I'm going to raise from the dead. I didn't want to get an email from an English teacher. And because he's alive today, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. We have to remember this And I want us to get this because so many times we focus so much on his death, that he took our sins upon him, that sometimes we don't fully understand that without the resurrection, without him raising from the dead, our faith would be nothing. He died, he took our sins. But 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 22 says this: if the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins, and your faith is a fantasy. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to his life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all others. The truth is, Christ is risen from the dead. As the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died, for since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection of the dead also come through a man, Christ. Even as all who are in Adam died, so also all are who, oh my gosh, also all who are in Christ have been made alive. We have to live with this truth today, that yes, we love the part that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus died for us. But we have to live with the truth every single day that Jesus didn't just die. If Jesus just died, our faith would be meaningless. Our faith wouldn't be complete. Our faith would just be something of a story. Like the Bible says, it would just be a fantasy. But because Jesus was raised from the dead, our faith is complete. The work of Jesus is complete. Because Jesus is alive today, I am alive in Christ. It was only because of the power of God that rose Christ Jesus from the dead. That was it. I'm only alive today because Jesus is alive. And I want to end with this, that this means this, that if the truth of our gospel is that I'm only alive because Jesus is alive, then why do we keep on trying to earn his love? Why do we keep on trying to earn God's love? Romans chapter 4, 1 through 5 says this: let us use Abraham as an example. It is clear that humanly speaking, he was the founder of Judaism. What was his experience of being made right with God? Was it by his good works of keeping the law? No. For it was by the things he did, he would have something to boast about. But no one boasts before God. Listen to what the scriptures say. Because Abraham believed God's words, his faith transferred God's righteousness into his account. When people work, they earn wages. it can't be considered a free gift because they earned it. But no one earns God's righteousness. No one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into your account. Being alive in Jesus today, being alive in Christ, means this, that you are righteous, that you are in right standing with Jesus. You're in right standing with God. But too many of us, myself included, just try to earn it. Because we're hard workers, right? It's in us. And if we work hard in life, we're gonna have a good life, right? If we work hard in life, we're gonna earn money. We're gonna get a good job. If we work hard in life, then we'll have a good family. We'll have good kids because we work hard raising them. If we work hard in our marriage, we're gonna have a great marriage because we work hard. It's in us. But what the Bible is saying here is that you can't earn God's righteousness. You can't earn it because only Jesus did it. Because only he made it possible. And I just love this song that we sang. I'll only boast in what Jesus did, not myself. Because if it was up to me, I'm lost. It's not even worth trying. But because of Jesus, I can be made righteous. And whether you have never had a personal relationship with Jesus or you have been following him for years, we all fall into this trap of just trying to earn it. We all fall into this mindset of, today I don't feel close to God. Today I don't feel alive. Today I don't feel righteous. Today was a bad day. I messed up a lot today. Yelled at my wife. Wasn't patient enough with my kids. Just ignored the Holy Spirit all day. And so the next day, what do? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get those points back. But Jesus is saying this. I've done the work. I have done the work. Now all you have to do today is put your faith in me. Put your faith in Jesus. And he will make you righteous. Put your faith in Jesus. And it's amazing, whenever I feel that way, whenever I feel just shameful, whenever I feel condemned, I can apologize to the Lord all day long. But there's something that shifts in my spirit the moment that I say, Jesus, I believe in you. There's something that shifts in my spirit when I say, Jesus, I have faith in you today. I have faith in what you did. I have faith in the cross. I have faith in the resurrection. I have faith in your finished, complete work. I have faith that you scorned my shame. I have faith that you set me free. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith in what you did on that cross, Jesus. I have faith that the tomb is empty today. I have faith in what you accomplished on the cross. And I can't earn it today. I'm not good enough today. I'm just not good enough. But you are. And so today I can't boast in my accomplishments. Like Ephesians says, you were once in religion. You were once in traditions and customs. That's what that is. It's religion. Trying to earn God's love is truly just religion. Trying to earn it is truly just the customs of this life, our thinking, our earthly thinking. So whether you feel far away from God today, whether you've been following him for years or today, you want to make a personal relationship with Jesus. You want to ask him into your life. Your only thing to do is put your faith in him. That's it. Put your faith in him today. Why don't you stand up? I want to extend this invitation to everybody in this room. If you're in this room and you've never, ever had a personal relationship with Jesus, you're in this room and you have been trying to earn God's love for the longest time. You're trying to earn God's righteousness. And today, I want to be alive in Jesus. I want to be right with him. The only thing that you have to do is put your faith in him, and righteousness will be transferred to your heart. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It's not something you can't. You can't do that. So just get that out of your mind. You can't earn it. You'll never be good enough. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, you can put your faith in that. And today you'll be righteous. So with every eye closed all across this room, maybe you are in a situation where you've been following Christ, you've given your life to Christ, but you've just been earning it. You've been trying to earn it constantly. If that's you in this room, would you just raise up your hand? I want to pray for you first. You've been trying to earn the love of God. You've been trying to earn the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray for every single heart in this room that's been trying to earn your love. Father, I thank you that you love them because of what you did on the cross. That is the proof of your love. You have forgiven them from past to future, every single mistake, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that they could never earn it. They could never achieve it, Lord Jesus. But because of what you did, Jesus, because of what you did, Father God, you are alive today. And now you make them alive, Lord Jesus. I thank you that righteousness is transferred to their account, to their hearts, to their spirits in Jesus' name. Now, if you're in this room and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, if you've never, ever accepted Jesus into your life, and you say, today, Matt, I want to follow Jesus. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If that's you in this room, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Will you just repeat after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for making me alive today. I believe that you died and that you rose again. And today, I put my faith in you. I can't earn it today. But I ask that you would make me righteous. in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can we give it up for those who prayed that prayer this morning? Come on, can we get up for Jesus one more time this morning?